I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is Autism Awareness Month, and joining us now is Kathy LaBosch. Kathy is the author of The Child with Autism at Home, The Child with Autism Learns the Faith, The Child with Autism Goes to Town, The Child with Autism Goes on Vacation, and The Child with Autism Goes to Florida. Kathy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being on. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, in the preface of The Child with Autism at Home, you write about your sons, Sam and Nikki. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, first off, they're big boys now. One's 17 and one's 14.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're still on very opposite ends of the spectrum. My older son, Sam, he's very smart, and he's actually a sophomore in high school right now,
and he's
doing pretty good in a regular high school. He does have an aide. And then there's Nikki, who is still way on the opposite end of the spectrum. He is still not speaking, and he's in a special autism school.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, you know, I really liked what you wrote in the preface of The Child with Autism at Home. You wrote, quote, "I compare my life's journey with autism to a hike up the Appalachian Trail. My ability to complete the journey with joy and satisfaction depends upon my ability to take care of myself physically, to prepare mentally for the hard stretches, to use the right tools to make the trek easier, and to have a good support system in place. But more than anything else, what I have needed is a trail to follow and a map to help me when I get lost." And that's why you created these booklets.
Yeah.
And I love the way you wrote that. That was so beautiful, and it's so true. And I love how, you know, you talk about taking care of yourself, because I think a lot of parents, especially moms who have children with autism or other special needs, we tend to forget about ourselves. And I know I've done that. And I think that's such an important point. And, you know, in the book, The Child with Autism at Home, you have 350 tips into 13 categories. And, you know, I'd love to just talk about a few of those. And the first one is the attic. And that, again, addresses taking care of yourself. And if you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, I noticed that a lot of whether I had a good day or a bad day, or how I was able to handle things, had to do with, one, was I getting enough sleep? Was I fed? And if I was in a better state of mind, then certain things that the kids did wouldn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the things I had to do was break down everything I had to do into really small parts so that if I was interrupted, it was okay. Because it can be very frustrating when you're trying to get something done and you're always interrupted.
And I laugh because I know.
You just want to, like, blow up, you know.
Oh.
But if you plan your schedule very loose, and you realize you're only going to accomplish one-tenth of what you want to do at a particular time, then the break is expected, and you don't get nearly as angry or upset.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't escalate from there, because the autistic kids, don't handle it well when you're upset. And then they get more upset, and then it's like, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and it's a challenge, and that's why, again, it's so important to take care of yourself. And I like, too, the master bedroom. You write, autism puts the wedding vows of for better for worse to the test. That is for sure. And I recently did a show with a woman, Peggy Price. She's a lawyer, and talking about, she specializes in divorce and for parents who have children with special needs, and it's, you know, a lot more common. And so making sure you have that time. What are some of the tips in the master bedroom?
Well, for me, one of the things was I had to realize that the situation in and of itself is overwhelming.
Yes.
And you can think, well, if he would just do this, then things would be easier. And the truth is, even if he did that, it would still be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Even if everybody did everything that you think they should be doing, it would still be overwhelming. Okay.
Yeah.
Your husband isn't Superman. You're not Superwoman. Okay? you're not going to get the needs met. And if you realize that, you can stop blaming the other person and you can stop blaming yourself. And just live with the fact that you're imperfect and this is going to be overwhelming for a while. And one of the things I had was make sure you have time away from the house. Just one night a week, you have to go someplace and be around other people. Now, some people can go to autism meetings or something like that. I didn't want to be anywhere near anything autistic. So I went out and did other stuff. You know, if you bowled before, you can go bowling. My husband joined the choir and stuff. And that helped us be ourselves a bit. And it gave us an extended support system that wasn't needy in itself. You know, if you go to an autism group, you might find a lot of other people who understand, but they might be just as needy as you are.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know.
Even if I go to the grocery store at night, it's like, I can't believe I'm out of the house, you know, and that's not exactly exciting. But sometimes it's kind of fun.
Woo!
I like to, woohoo, Whole Foods, you know. I like the people at the grocery store, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's really important. You know, there's so much in every single thing. And then I like you have the corner. It says, children with autism have a reputation for having disciplinary problems. Often they do not understand what you want or you do not understand what they want. Requests need to be phrased properly and within their skill level. And tell us about some of the tips for the corner.
Well, a lot of my problem was I had, for a while, two nonverbal children,
wow.
Although Sam eventually learned how to talk. And the thing is, how do you discipline a child who can't talk? You cannot sit and reason with them,
mm-hmm.
and you're not allowed to beat them.
So
there had to be another way of getting through to them. And one of the things I did was if they made a mess, I had to teach them how to clean it up. Okay, in other words, part of their punishment was also a teaching thing. You know, you dump water all over the place, you're going to get towels and you're going to clean it up. And it can be as unpleasant for them to clean it up as it is for me. But it's that helped both decrease the behaviors and also teach them certain life skills at the same time.
Oh, I see.
So,
boy, that sounds so challenging.
People always went to me and they said, you're so patient. And I said, that's because they'll throw me in jail if I'm not.
Kathy, you have a great sense of humor. You know, I think something I'm sure also helps is your faith, you know, and moving on to the child with autism learns the faith. Bible lessons from the Garden of Eden to the parting of the Red Sea. I just thought this book was wonderful because you have these really great ways of teaching different Bible lessons. You talk about the importance of class preparation, the why, who, what, and or when and what, and the importance of outreach. If you can touch a little bit on that. And then if you can share your favorite story, there's so many good ones, like Adam names the animals, God has a job for us, and how you use different stuffed animals and index cards and stuff. But if you can share the one that you really like and, you know, just touch on those things in general.
Okay. What started out was I went to a meeting. My diocese had a meeting. They wanted to talk to parents with children with developmental disabilities and just hear what we had to say. And a lot of people came out with all this rejection they were getting when they were trying to get their children trained. And I thought that was horrible. And I realized suddenly I had stories, too, I hadn't been thinking about. So I went to our religious education director. And I said, I think we should have religious education classes for kids with autism. And she said, great, tell me what you need. I'll get you anything you need.
Wow.
Well, wait a minute.
I got to figure out what.
I was like, I wasn't volunteering to teach this. I wanted someone else to do it, you know.
That's funny.
But anyway, I ended up doing that. And let's see, my favorite class. It's actually kind of a funny one. It talks about, I think it's about Isaac and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how when Abraham sent out his servant to find a wife for his son, the servant did something where he came up and he brought the camels, and he told the Lord, he said, you know, let the woman who draws water, you know, for the camels and things like that, let that be the one. And, of course, Rebecca came out, and she said, well, let me give you water not just for you but also for your camels as well. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, that's actually a very good way to find a spouse. How do people treat others who cannot respond? I mean, she could have just given the servant water and seen what he wanted,
mm-hmm.
but she also gave the camels water. And if you see, I mean, a lot of people have had their marriages break up and things, and they might be worried about getting married again. But one way to judge whether this person would be a good husband or a good wife for you is, how do they treat your children, who can really do nothing for them in a way? How do they treat them?
There's so many interesting ones. And I'm Jewish, actually, and it's like, oh, I like this one. Oh, here's one about Moses.
Yeah, well, I tried to write. There was a cross on the cover. But
yeah, there's a Jewish star, too.
Yeah, but I know some Jewish people are like, cross, no. But I really, really tried to
write it
so that it would be acceptable for people of the Jewish faith as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's I'm actually in the middle of writing the sequel to that right now.
Oh, cool.
Which is going to be called In the Wilderness,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to cover from, you know, all right, they're in the desert, basically all the desert years, including, well, for your sake, the 10 words,
mm-hmm.
and up into the establishment of the priesthood.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Because to me it's really important, because our kids can get into real trouble out there in society if they don't know right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond, you know, well, we want to teach them the faith that we do, but we also want to put it right down in their hearts what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And what's going to get me in trouble. You know?
That's true. And speaking of trying to keep, you know, kids out of trouble, you have The Child with Autism Goes to Town, the Go Anywhere Guide, 250 Tips for Community Outings. And, I mean, this is great. I mean, you've got everything. I mean, you've got the playground, the fast food restaurant, the mall, the barber, hairdresser, grocery store, movie theater, church, amusement park, I mean, sporting events, the dentist, that's a good one. You know, the hospital, which is so funny. My daughter had to go to the hospital last year. She had this weird kidney thing, and I can't even pronounce it, but anyway, she's like obsessed with all, like, she actually liked it. We were it was awful, the whole experience. But she, you know, she doesn't remember the bad. She's just like, oh, I like the hospital. They were very nice there, you know. And I'm like, oh gosh, please don't ever send me back to the hospital. But yeah, the library, it's really great. I mean, no, for all of these things, I mean, how did you come up with these? I mean, You know what I'm trying to say, trial and error.
Yes, trial and error. Okay. I became wise by looking very stupid along the way. Like, oh, let's not do that one again. But you know what's really funny is that my nonverbal son fell at school and he hit his head.
Oh.
And we had to take him to the hospital, and I was a little panicked. I was going through my head. I said, oh, what did that Labash woman say? I was trying to remember what I wrote, what I was supposed to do when it came out. What did that Labash woman say? Oh, I got to get the blanket. I got to get the other stuff. But,
oh, my gosh.
It was just kind of funny.
A child with autism goes to Florida. What's so great about it is that you have these tips and ride reviews and, you know, depending on how your child is and responds to things. Like, I think it's great that there's something out there that, you know, has some tips.
Well,
because that's
one of the things in the tips, I tell you if the child is having a meltdown, different places in each part of the park where to go.
Oh, that's great.
So you can have them calm down, you know, and I tell you what rides you can get out of in the middle of.
What ones you're stuck on till the end.
You must have gone on a lot of rides. I mean, geez.
Yeah, we went just about every year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I have to tell you, last year we were there. I mean, sometimes God is just, it's a sign from God, time to stop going to Disney World. We were on Splash Mountain, and the ride got stuck.
Oh, my goodness.
And we got stuck near where the waterfall was.
Oh.
And I'm like, go, go, go. And I saw this thing coming up. No, no. We had to wait until the thing went down. One of the other riders went down, thoroughly drenched us in this cold water before our thing would pick up and start to go. Nick was like flipping out, and I was laughing so hard because his face was just, you know.
Oh, yes.
But he got off the ride, he walked out of the park, and I spent the rest of the week, like, we'd go there, and I would sit, and I would wait by the ferry, and we'd go through, like, 10 times the ferry going back and forth until we'd get off the ferry, and then we'd go in, and it was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, back to zero again. But he did not like getting all that water dumped on. And I'm like, God, why?
Oh,
but,
my
you know,
goodness.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, I am going down to Disney World for a weekend in May,
really?
And I'm going to do like a blitz through the things that have come up since the book, so I can do an update on that book.
Oh, you'll have to come back on. You know, when I was a kid, my favorite was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. At first, I was afraid to go on, but then my cousin convinced me.
They don't have that anymore.
They don't. Oh, my gosh, that was so... I went on it like
that
11 times after that.
That was my favorite, too. Now it's Snow White's Scary Ride.
Oh, come on.
And it's scary. It's scary. They have the witches pop out and things like that.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't like that. No. I don't.
No,
I don't
not
like
for the kids.
Scared. No.
So I do warn you, what rides to start out on, you know, what they might like, and then, like, I move you up different schedules. Like, if they're okay with this thing, then you can try these. And you can try those. And I'm like, nobody can do all the rides.
Yeah.
You know, so if you just do these, it'll be okay, and I'll have a positive experience, and then you can come back and stuff.
Oh,
and
that is so great.
I do the resorts, too, because it's like if you have a kid that's a runner, likes to run away, I tell you, what resorts have all this vegetation around that you could lose them in and out a second, and which resorts have clear sight lines, which resorts are on the water, you know, and which resorts have fire around, you know, because they can be obsessed with different things. Like, my son is obsessed with sticks. Well, there's this one resort down in the New Orleans section of the resorts where all the furniture is made out of sticks. So I'm just warning the people ahead of time so they don't walk into the hotel and go, oh, no. I tell you what's breakable in the hotel room, whether the stuff is dirty, you know, it's like what kind of food is available. I know what evil these kids can do. I was joking around. I should have subtitled that 101 Ways to Die at Disney World.
Debbie, you are so fabulous. I have to have you back again. Seriously, how do people get these wonderful booklets and learn more about you?
Well, right now I think they should go to Future Horizons.
Okay.
They bought my company up this past December.
Oh, great.
And I think they're fhautism.com.
Yes.
And they should be able to get my books there.
Oh, I highly recommend them. They're wonderful. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And I hope everyone gets Kathy LaVosh's booklets. They're so helpful. And everyone have a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.